Our scripture reading for today will be found in Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 15. Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 15. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it."
Good morning. On behalf of the San Angelo Christian Academy board, administrator, faculty, staff, and all the students, I would like to extend a heartfelt thank you to you as the Southgate Church of Christ and the community of San Angelo for your generosity that has put approximately $81,000 into the coffers of San Angelo Christian Academy. What I'd now like to do is ask that you pray for wisdom for the board members and for Mrs. Rackley, that we would be good stewards of those gifts that you gave us. I don't know if you've ever heard Paul say this before, Paul Shiro, but he'll say, whenever he has a good sermon, people come up to him and say, "Preacher, that's a great sermon." But if it's so-so, they might come up to him and say, "That's a great tie, Paul." No less than six people have come to me already this morning and told me what a great tie this is. And I want to say, can you at least wait until you've heard the lesson? Now, here's what I want from you, okay? You can come up to me and you can say, "Great tie," when this is over with. That's okay. My feelings won't be hurt. But when you see Paul, tell Paul, "That was one of the best lessons I've ever heard while you were gone." Do that for me, okay? Most of y'all have been involved in maybe business seminars, meetings, training classes, or maybe even just any kind of get-together where they've had an icebreaker. And that icebreaker can have several different questions that they ask for you to share something about. But one of them that's kind of become popular has been, if you could have 1 hour on a park bench sitting and talking to someone, alive or dead, who would that person be? And man, you're going to hear just a myriad of answers that can come to answer that question. You may hear somebody who is interested in art say, "Well, I might want to talk to Michelangelo and talk about his inspiration for the Sistine Chapel. Or I might want to talk to Leonardo da Vinci and ask him about the Mona Lisa and how he created one of the world's most popular paintings." Somebody who likes music may say, "You know, I would like to talk to Bach, Beethoven, or maybe even George Gershwin and say, how did you come up with that beautiful melody of Rhapsody in Blue?" Others may say, "You know, I'd like to talk to a great leader. I'd like to talk to John Wooden, the coach of the UCLA Bruins basketball team, and about that great stretch that he had in the 60s and 70s where he won so many games, and at one point he was 205 wins and only 5 losses." Others may say, "You know, I'd like to talk to Jim Thorpe, the greatest athlete of the last century." For me, probably right up there at the top of my list would be Winston Churchill. I would like to talk to Churchill and say, "How did you come up with some of those great speeches that you had? The ones like blood, toil, tears, and sweat. Be ye men of valor. We shall fight on the beaches. This was their finest hour, and never was so much owed by so many to so few." Or I might choose Ronald Reagan. At the end of Reagan's presidency, he'd been the president for 1/3 of my life at that time. I'd like to talk to him about that speech at the Brandenburg Gate, whenever he stood there and he said, "Mr. Gorbachev, open this gate." And then thunderous applause that seemed like it would never stop. he had to interrupt it and say, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. Or I'd like to talk to him about that speech he made on that fateful day in 1986, whenever he was going to give a State of the Union address, and he ended up having to change it. And he addressed the nation because of the Space Shuttle Challenger and the crash that it experienced. And whenever he kind of leaned into the camera and he said, I want to speak to the children that are watching in school right now. And later he said, the future doesn't belong to the faint-hearted. It belongs to the brave. And even though Winston Churchill and Ronald Reagan are on my list of people that I would like to have a conversation with, when it all boils down, you know who I think I'd pick? I think I'd pick Chuck Connors, the guy who played Lucas McCain on The Rifleman. Lucas McCain, who was almost a godlike figure, who taught morality and values, who loved his only son, and in every show, good always triumphed over evil. I can tell you right now, if the world doesn't seem right, if I can sit down and watch 22 minutes of The Rifleman, the world seems right to me. I love Chuck Connors. Well, whenever you think about that, every one of those that I mentioned just now were people that have passed on. What about somebody who's alive? Who would you like to talk to? Now, wait a minute, that becomes a whole lot more real because that might happen. That other's just a fantasy that you can think about anything you want, but this might actually happen. So whenever you think about, if you had the chance to meet somebody, what would you say? There's always kind of this little worry that you go, oh, might I stick my foot in my mouth, or might I chicken out and not be able to go through with the conversation? And I've actually seen that in action. Some of you may know the man that I work for. You may have met him. His name's James Archer. And I worked for him at a company called Multichem for years and years. And what we did is every month we would bring in anywhere from about 2 dozen to 3 dozen people that were newly hired people, and we'd have new hire orientation. And it would last for a week. And one of those nights, what we would do, it'd be here in San Angelo, we'd charter a bus, and we'd get everybody on that bus, and we'd take them down to James's house out on the ranch in Sonora, and he would cook steaks for them and cook supper. And while the fire was getting ready for the steaks, he would stand and he would talk to the new hires, and he would ask them questions. And invariably, kind of what would happen is he would be standing, and about 15 feet out, they'd kind of make a semicircle, and they would kind of be out there, and he'd be talking to them, asking them questions, and they'd kind of be answering. And what I'd do is I'd come up behind that circle, and I'd kind of wiggle my way through, and I'd walk up, and I'd say, hey, James, how you doing? Reach out and shake his hand, and he'd hug me, and he'd say, Ward, how's Mindy doing? I'd say, she's doing great, James. I'd let him know what she was up to. I'd ask about Ms. Lois, and then he'd say, how are the boys doing? What are they up to? And we'd talk for a while, and I'd look back, and the new hires would kind of be looking at each other like, I didn't know you could approach him. And so there was kind of this intimidation factor of a guy whose legend kind of lived on before him. It was kind of larger than life, and they would speak to him, but they didn't get close to him and have that more intimate conversation. And whenever I told Mindy about this phenomenon, she said, Ward, the new hires think of James like kids think about Santa Claus. And I said, how do you figure? She said, well, think about it. The kid goes to the mall, sees Santa Claus, and goes, oh, I want to have my picture taken with Santa. I really, really want to sit on his lap. And man, I surely want to tell him what I want for Christmas. Gosh, he's just too big. He's too scary. I don't know. He's larger than life. I don't know if I can do it. So that's one of the problems we have communicating with people. If somebody's larger than life, we might feel intimidated. Let me tell you about another communication problem that I recently experienced. I was on a connecting flight. You know where the connecting flight is, right? Dallas, Texas. It's a connecting flight in Dallas, Texas. I'm getting on a plane, and as I'm going to sit down, I hear a guy say, Ward Lusk. I look over, and it's a guy that I knew from my youth, and I haven't seen him in at least a dozen years or spoken to him. And I said, Mark, what are you doing? He said, headed to Nashville like you. We can't talk. We're too far away in the plane. And when we leave and we get into the terminal and we're walking on the concourse, we're starting to talk to each other. Now, Mark is a guy that back in the 90s, he and I spoke to each other every day. We talked about the things that happened during the day. We talked about school. We talked about work. I helped him with a business venture one time. His brother helped me get a job. We talked about church. We talked about God. We talked about relationships. We talked about everything. And in this moment, when we're walking through the concourse and you haven't seen each other for a dozen years, to talk about the trivial things seems petty. But then to talk about the more important, intimate things, I felt like I really don't know Mark anymore. So all of the conversation became difficult because of the dozen years that we spent away from each other, not talking to each other. One more point I want to make on communications in between people. There's a phenomenon that's occurring, and you'll see it more with younger generations than you do with older. And I even saw a guy the other day. I'm going to interrupt myself here. I saw a guy, and I was talking to him. He said, oh, I was talking to this guy. And he didn't say, I was talking to this guy, or I was talking to this guy. He suddenly held up his hands, and he tapped his thumbs a couple of times. He goes, I was talking to this guy. And I thought, you weren't talking to him at all. You were texting him is what you were doing. Well, so much of our younger generation communicates through texts. And through texts, you can, but you shouldn't get into anything of any value of importance. It's usually trivial little things. And here's what happens. You can send somebody a text, and then you can look at that and go, yeah, I'll reply to that later. So whenever a lot of younger people get together, they've been texting and texting and texting and texting, and they stand there face to face with somebody, and that art of communication is lost in that moment because they're not used to reading the facial expressions, the body language, the inflection of the voice. A lot of times you look at a text, you can't see the inflection, you can't see the feelings behind it. And so that's another problem we have, is that our conversations with people are not in person, and they tend to be trivial. But here we are, we're talking about having conversations with people that are dead, which we can't have, and we're talking about having conversations with people and those communication problems, and we have classes, and we have things online, we have all this kind of stuff that will teach you how to better communicate with people, the quantity and the quality of conversations that you have. And in the midst of all of this, we are here, and God is standing right here saying, talk to me. I'm here. Talk to me. And here's what I know about God. He wants us to talk to him anytime we need to pray or want to pray. Ephesians 16:18 says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. I know that there is no limit to what we can talk about with God. In Philippians 4, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. I know that God will always listen to us. In Job 22:27, it says, you will pray to him, and he will hear you. He wants us to be steadfast in our prayer. Romans 12:12, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. And he wants us to never stop praying to him. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 simply says, pray continually. And Jesus also gave us an example of how we should pray. He told us to pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. There's an acronym that is out there that talks about how we should pray, and that acronym is ACTS, A-C-T-S. It stands for Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, and Supplication. Now, that's something that's man-made, and anytime we see something that's man-made, I say, let's check it, let's look in the Bible, is it something that we ought to be doing? So if we go to look in the Bible and we start looking for ACTS as an acronym, we're not going to find that outline, we're not going to find that formula anywhere, but whenever we look at each one of those things individually, certainly every one of those things are biblical concepts, and we're going to talk about each one of those today. First, let's talk about adoration. Psalm 95 says, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is great, is a great God, and a great King above all gods. And in his hand are the deep places of the earth, and the strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. And in his hands form the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Now, I don't know about you, but a lot of times whenever I pray, I tend to get wrapped up in a selfish nature and start asking for things that I want or feel like that I need. And I don't always give the God of the universe the praise and adoration that he so richly deserves. We don't give praise and adoration to God because he's an egotistical, arrogant God. We give it to him because he deserves it and because we owe it. Because a God who is the creator of the universe and created everything in it, created you and created me, and then went from creator to father and took his only son and said, I will sacrifice that only son because I love you so much. Shame on us for not giving God the adoration that he so richly deserves. Today what I'm going to do is we go through each one of these. I'm going to ask someone to come up and say a prayer for each one of these parts. So, Gray, would you come up and say a prayer of adoration for us, please?
Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we come now humbling ourselves before you in your awesome majesty and your power, Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you for all the many beautiful things that you've given us on this earth, is the beautiful trees and the skies and everything, Lord. And we thank you and we praise you for the beauty of heaven that you've said that we will someday see. And we praise you that you've given us an opportunity for eternal life. Dear Lord, we praise you for conquering sin and death and for loving us, Lord, even though we don't deserve it. We praise you and we thank you for loving us. We most of all thank you that you sent your son to die on the cross for our sins so that we can live with you forever. We pray these things in your son's name. Amen.
After adoration is confession. Whenever he talks about confession, Psalm 30. Am I off now? Did I turn it off? There we go. Psalm 32:5 says, Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and you did not cover up my iniquity. And I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. 2 Chronicles 7:14 said, If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. And John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Now, whenever you think about the four parts of prayer that we're talking about, adoration, we may not do it with the regularity that we need to, but it's easy, isn't it? Whenever you think about a God that great, the sacrifices that he's made for us, the only God, all the other false gods that are out there always require from us to give, and he saves us by him giving to us. That's easy to adore and to praise a God like that. To give thanksgiving is easy, isn't it? He's given us so much, so many blessings. And supplication, well, to ask for stuff, we're kind of selfish in nature anyway, aren't we? So supplication comes easy. But confession, now that's a different story. I think a lot of times what we do is we have a tendency to want to deny and deflect. And we don't want to take full responsibility for our sins. One time, a few years ago, we had a large picture. And that picture was going to go at the end of the hallway. And so what it did is it did go at the end of the hallway. It just wasn't on a nail. It sat and it kind of leaned up against the wall. And we were getting around to hanging it. And in the process, one of my boys smashed it. And I mean, broke the glass and the mat around it and everything. And Mindy and her investigation to find out who did it. And she did find out. She's questioning what's going on. And you'll probably be able to figure out which kid of mine this is by this response. He said, well, Mom, it's really your fault in the first place for putting it there. Okay? Well, Davis, I think we as adults have a tendency to sometimes do the same thing, to say, well, God, you created me this way. What was I supposed to do other than to be sinful? And I think another thing that we do is we tend to marginalize our sin. That I can stand here and I can know what I can do. And I can look out at you and look at your faces and go, well, at least I'm not this. Or at least I don't do that. And tend to think that one sin is greater than another and that mine fall into the minor sin categories. But every sin, as we already know, is a sin that separates us from God. And you want to know about my sins? I'll tell you. My sins are the sins that took a spike and drove it through Jesus' wrists. My sins are the sins that nailed his feet to that tree. You know, nestled in John chapter 18, in between where Peter first denies him and then he denies him a second and third time, is the account where Jesus is being questioned. And they don't like his answer. And an official walks over to him and slaps him and he says, is that any way to answer the high priest? And I always think, wow, man, I'm glad I'm not that guy. I'd hate to be the guy who slapped Jesus. But my sins, for all that I've done, I might as well have been there that day and screamed, let Barabbas go. Kill Jesus. For us to take our sins and to minimalize them, for us to deny and deflect, or for us to kind of gloss over them in any shape, form, or fashion, and know what Jesus did for us is absolutely shameful, isn't it? Milt, will you come beg for forgiveness for us?
Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus out of necessity. You know our hearts. You know our thoughts. You know that we love you or we wouldn't be here. But Father, you also know that we have this ability to fool ourselves and to blind ourselves from our own faults. So we come to you confessing our pride. We come to you, Father, confessing our disrespect for your will. We come to you confessing our trying to make Jesus an equal with us when he is our Lord. We beg for your forgiveness, Father. We beg for giving us a right mind and a right spirit that stands before you as your creation, that loves you because you love us. And help us, Father. You know our weaknesses, Jesus has told you. And we ask that you be patient with us and help us to conform to his image. In his name we pray. Amen.
The T stands for Thanksgiving. Psalm 100 says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and enter his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." If you're a parent or a grandparent and you have or have had little children, you'll remember or you realize that thanks is the predominant part of a child's prayer. A child goes in to pray and says, "Dear God, thank you for mom, thank you for dad, for brother and sister, for grandma and grandpa, puppy and kitty, and all of the things that are important to that child." So giving thanks, I think, is easy for us. He is a great God. But here's one thing that I do know, that we become old and we become jaded and we become harder to impress. And I think a lot of times to think about Jesus' sacrifice for us and to think about God's love and to have thankfulness is easy for us. But also I want you to go back and think about those child's prayers. They'll pray for butterflies and flowers and mud puddles and everything else that brings joy to their lives. And I think maybe sometimes as adults, we sometimes have lost that joy and we've lost that thankfulness for all of the little tiny things that God has given to us. So now we're going to say a prayer of thanksgiving. Jim.
To praise and honor you, Father, we come before you this time. We're mindful of the goodness you have shown, the love that you have shown that we cannot explain, the grace you offered, the mercy you extended, and especially the forgiveness because we are sinners. For the love that you show in giving your only son, and for the love that he showed in paying the price for our sins and dying the death that was ours, and we can have forgiveness because you care and you love. Father, we beg your forgiveness. We recognize the involvement you have in our lives and everything that we do, the things that sustain us daily, all the things that we enjoy, the country of freedom where we can be. And in our words, Father, we don't have the right words in our language to express our gratitude. Thank you for loving. Thank you for caring. and thank you for giving, because through this is our only hope. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
The last one on the acronym is the S for supplication. In James 5:13, it says, if anyone among you is in trouble, let them pray. Jesus even said in the prayer that we recited a moment ago, give us this day our daily bread. And Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. I think a lot of times as adults, we have a tendency to think, I just need to pull myself up by my bootstraps and get the job done. And whether it's through battling through an illness, whether it's through hardships at work, family problems, whatever the case may be, I think the American way of self-sufficiency sometimes gets in the way of Lord's way of hand it over to me. Again, to reference a child. If a young boy or a girl rides their bike, falls off their bike, and skins their elbow, what's the first thing that happens? They go running to their mom. And you hear them yelling, Mom, Mom, Mom. And they come in. Mom cleans the wound. In my day, they put Mercurochrome on it. I don't think that exists anymore. Bandages it up. Kisses the elbow and says, man, that was a bad one. But it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. And then the mom holds the child while the child cries until the child is better. And God, who's taken himself and put himself as our father and called us his children, and we walk around thinking that we can do it by ourselves. And he's saying, I'm your daddy. I'm right here. Come to me. I will hold you. I will kiss your wounds. I will dry your eyes. And I know it's bad, but if you trust in me, it will all be okay. It will all be better. Now we're going to say a prayer of supplication. Don, if you wouldn't mind coming and praying for us, please, sir.
Will you bow with me, please? First of all, dear Lord, we thank you so much for this avenue of prayer. That you would even want us is amazing. But we know, dear Lord, that you want us to talk to you, that you are that Father that wants to hold us, to caress us, to say that I love you. And too many times, dear Lord, we want to do it ourselves. We want to say, Lord, I can handle this one, and you can help me with the harder ones. I pray, dear Lord, that each one of us would be like a little child, that we would realize this tremendous gift that you've given us to ask. But we know you've made a promise and your promises are always true, that we'll ask, just merely ask, that you'll answer. Help us, dear Lord, as we go through our lives to realize this avenue of prayer is something that is that we don't use near as much as we need to. We need to ask. We need to realize that you are the Father from whom all blessings come. And if we truly want to be your children, then as our Father, we should ask. Thank you so much for the avenue that we have. Give us the strength, dear Lord, to realize that it's maybe not so insignificant an item that we shouldn't ask, and have you there to help us. As children, dear Lord, as we look to you, as we ask you to help us to grow, even as we're older, help us to continually grow more and more like your Son. We thank you now for this avenue of supplication that we can come, and we know that you're always there. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Whenever I first started out talking about this, I said, I'd like to talk to Chuck Connors. Johnny Crawford is the actor that played Mark McCain, Lucas McCain's son in The Rifleman. Johnny Crawford is 62 years old, and whenever he is interviewed, people will ask him, what'd you think of Chuck Connors? What was he like? I ask him questions about Chuck, and he'll say, I love Chuck Connors. Chuck was a great guy. But Chuck was nothing like Lucas McCain. And they'll ask him more, say more, and he says, Chuck Connors was a real practical joker, and he loved to play tricks on people all the time. So he was always messing up scenes and doing things because he was always goofing around. He says, a lot of fun to be around. He said, but, you got to remember, Mark was in between about the ages of 10 and 15 whenever he did this, Johnny was, and did this show. And he said, Chuck smoked about 3 packs of cigarettes a day. And Chuck used a lot of really foul language, and he talked about material that was explicit that shouldn't be mentioned around children. He's just kind of really a crude person. He said, I liked him a lot and I really appreciate him. He was fun to be around. He said, but Chuck Connors was not the kind of man that Lucas McCain was. Well, here, the way I described it was Lucas McCain, who is a fictitious character, was a godlike type of figure who always ended up on the side of right, who taught morality and values and loved his one and only son more than anything in the world. And God is saying, Ward, I'm right here. I'm right here. Quit thinking about Lucas McCain or Chuck Connors or whoever it is you're dreaming about. And the fact that you can watch Rifleman and the world will seem right. If you talk to me, the world is right. And Ward, I want you to talk to me anytime you want about anything you want to talk about, trivial or big. I want you to talk to me all of the time, and I promise that I will listen to you, and everything is going to be all right. Like always, we extend an invitation. And today, it might be that God seems too big and too powerful for you to approach. He is that big and he is that powerful. But he's given us the gift that he says, you can approach my throne anytime you want for anything. It may be that you haven't talked to him often enough to where you don't feel comfortable in those conversations, and you need to get to know him a little better. It may be that you do talk to him often, but you're sending little one-liners, little cliches, little mealtime prayers and nothing else. And you don't feel comfortable whenever you come to him face to face to have a real conversation. Or it may be that you're in the spot right now that you say, I know he's the creator of the universe, and I know he wants me as a child, but I haven't accepted that. I haven't said, God, I want to be your child. And you may need to come now, and you may need to say, I need to be dipped in those forgiving waters of baptism and be a child of God and start my life on that journey of talking to him and being with him for the rest of my life. If you have any needs at all, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.